Welcome to the southernmost planetarium in the world, in the Aoraki Mount Cook World Heritage National Park. There are so many stars that people from the northern hemisphere may have difficulty recognizing even familiar constellations. If we were to remove the mountains from our field of vision, the full extent of the southern sky is revealed. One of the most captivating features of our night sky is the Milky Way, that bright band of stars stretching across the sky. Another beautiful feature is the Southern Cross. It can be seen all year round in the southern hemisphere, although in the summer it is obscured by the mountains. An important place in the southern sky is the South Celestial Pole. You can find this dark, murky area by drawing a line down through the center of the Southern Cross and then another between the pointer stars. Where these two lines intersect is the South Celestial Pole. And watch. If we show the path the stars travel in an evening, we notice how they all appear to rotate around the pole. However, it is not the stars that are rotating. It is us turning, riding on the spinning Earth. We have been looking south. To face the north, we will now rotate our view. There are five planets that we can see from Earth with the naked eye: Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. The word planet comes from the Greek word for wanderer. As ancient astronomers noticed that planets moved amongst the stars rather than with them. We can clearly see this if we speed up time and watch the planets orbiting our Sun for 1 year. Just as the Sun, Moon, and planets rise and set, so too do the constellations as the Earth makes its annual orbit around the Sun. The zodiac is 12 constellations. They lie along the path the Sun travels. Remember, because most constellations were first imagined in the northern hemisphere, they appear upside down here in the southern hemisphere. We will now look at the typical seasonal night sky. Some constellations may be a little higher or lower, but if you can look outside tonight, they will be in roughly the same area. The winter night sky is the perfect time to view the zodiac constellations as they sit directly overhead. Scorpius can be identified by tracing a large S across the sky, the scorpion's body and tail. Within the constellation is the bright red star Antares, the heart of the scorpion. The constellation Libra sits next to Scorpius, and it originally formed part of the claws of the scorpion. Later, Greek mythology adapted the constellation to form the scales of neighboring Virgo, the goddess of justice. To the east is Sagittarius. Traditional mythology sees Sagittarius as an archer, however, it is also identified in the southern hemisphere by looking for a teapot, with the Milky Way imagined as steam rising from the spout. We now need to rotate our view to face south. The Southern Cross is sitting on its side in the southwest for most of the season. The Milky Way sits high in the south and arches from southwest to northeast. The two egg-shaped smudges are the large and small Magellanic clouds, called clouds because of their fuzzy appearance. They are, in fact, the two closest galaxies to our own Milky Way, each consisting of billions of stars. Across the millennia, we have stood on the Earth and looked up. We developed optics to help us see clearer and further into the sky. Then, we found the way to take off from Earth, to go into that very space that had so intrigued us, and to take our tools with us. Since the first satellite, Sputnik 1, was launched into space in 1957, there have been literally thousands of satellites launched into Earth's orbit. Visual satellites that can be seen from Earth. GPS navigation satellites. Geostationary satellites for telecommunication and satellite TV. Along with satellites, there are also hundreds of thousands of items of space debris orbiting the Earth. These items can be anything from defunct satellites, spent rocket stages, and even a glove lost during the very first spacewalk. One especially remarkable satellite is the International Space Station. It sits in a very low orbit of the Earth and can be easily seen when it passes overhead. The station has been continuously inhabited since November 2000. It's being used primarily for conducting research into biology, physics, astronomy, and meteorology. It is the most visited craft in the history of space exploration. The most significant satellite orbiting our Earth, however, is not man-made. It's our natural satellite, the Moon. Just as satellites orbit the Earth, the planets in our solar system orbit the Sun. We will now take a trip to one of our planetary neighbors. Jupiter is the largest planet in the solar system, weighing 2.5 times more than all the other planets combined. It is the third brightest object in the night sky. Jupiter's atmosphere is extremely turbulent. The Great Red Spot is a storm that has been observed from Earth for hundreds of years. Jupiter has over 60 known moons. To see them better, we will enlarge the four largest. These are the Galilean moons. They were used to prove the Copernican theory that the Earth is not the center of the universe. The Galilean moons hold much interest for scientists on Earth, as there are some intriguing similarities between them and our own planet, such as the existence of ice on Europa. To get a better idea of just how immense our universe really is, we will now leave the solar system and fly beyond our Milky Way galaxy. What we will see along the way is real astronomical data, It shows, to the best of our scientific knowledge, just what's out there. When we view our Sun from outside the solar system, it appears just another star in the night sky. From out here, familiar constellations are still recognizable. Viewed from Earth, the stars appear close to each other, but in truth, they may be many millions of light years apart. This graphic is of the Oort sphere. It represents the very limits of our solar system, where trillions of icy objects are trapped within the slight orbital pull of our Sun. We are traveling quickly, and here we are nearly 100 times the distance from the Sun to Pluto. The further out we go, the more we see our constellation patterns break apart and become unrecognizable compared to our view from Earth. The blue radiosphere indicates the very furthest anything from Earth has ventured into space, our radio waves. They have traveled nearly 100 light years from Earth since the first broadcasts in the late 1930s. When we see where we are located in the galaxy, we can better understand that bright band of the Milky Way across our night sky. Each night, we actually look into the dense mass of stars of one arm of the galaxy. Our galaxy is just one of many. In fact, what appears to be something so vast and massive is just the beginning. Out here, the points of light you see are no longer stars. They are galaxies, and each one contains billions of stars. It is thought that there are more than 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. This is the Virgo cluster of galaxies. It is estimated that there may be up to 2,000 of these giant objects in this one cluster. Their combined mass is so great, our local group of galaxies, including our own Milky Way, is being pulled towards it at a rate of 960,000 kilometers per hour. Our journey, for now, is at an end. We return home, through the galaxies. To our own Milky Way. As far as our radio waves have reached. until we see the outer boundaries of our solar system. The orbits of the planets it contains. To our celestial home. Thank you for journeying with us from Mount Cook, the most southern planetarium in the world.